What a change. I may be coming right along with you in about 2 years. Okay. Well, first of all, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the PSMI, Public Schools on Military Installation. And Ms. Jacklett probably can tell you a little bit about what's going on her site. We had a pre-visit conference last Tuesday, and Alpha Facility Solutions will be coming out to the base again. This is the third time, so we're hoping third time is a charm. But they'll be coming out to take a look at the facility to see what condition it's in and decide, someone decides later, not Alpha, but I believe it's OSD or Department of Defense. They decide as to who is going to act or which group would actually get funding or be elected to have funding. So we're hoping that this third time, that we don't have to wait another 7 years to try to get a new school or at least the funding and be invited. So that's what we're... Yeah. Okay. So that's what we're hoping for. So we will definitely let you know what the outcome is. Also, I'd like to thank Ms. Jacklett and her teachers for the CTE students that came by from Wheatland High, the childhood education group of students did a great job. They talked a lot because they came over to the Child Development Center and the Youth Center as well, and they talked a lot about the school. They're getting excited, and you're looking for future teachers, and I think you've got them. They're coming. So great job, I appreciate that. We're very fortunate to have, again, a military family life counselor for our child and youth programs. So Ms. G can chill out a little bit and take a break. Poor Ms. G, I think we've been wearing her out, but she's been wonderful. But please let her know that we just have a new family counselor, military family life counselor coming on, or actually she started yesterday. She's
awesome.
Wonderful, thank you. So we're she's a former Lone Tree student too, and Bear River family, military, also retirees. So and the dad is still working with us. We appreciate that. We look forward to her being with the students and the families and helping us all out during this time. One of the things I just wanted to say too is that military child education is a top priority for us in the Department of the Air Force. Military families decide to continue in the military service, and it's influenced by educational opportunities that their kids receive. So that's why we come out and we talk a lot and or show videos and really get out there and try to get our partners together and let them know exactly what our military kids go through. The fact that their decision to remain in military service is influenced by the public education opportunities their kids get, this impacts retention. You know, are they going to stay in? Are they not going to stay in? In addition, since military families are one of the military's most successful recruiting pools, military child education impacts readiness also. If schools that serve our military families are not producing quality graduates, the lethality, that word always gets me, of our force may begin to diminish. School liaison positions were designed to help and support that, and I'm very fortunate. I've been a school liaison since 2011. I've seen a lot of changes, a lot of things come and go, but the one constant thing is our kids and the support that we give and get for our kids. The school liaison program with the resources, our partnerships, especially leadership and school partners, helps military children to thrive academically, socially, emotionally, regardless of what duty station they go to, or whether or not a deployment is going on, or any kind of transition is happening in their lives. It's up to us to help and support them. With over 200 schools that have military children in it, that's what my footprint kind of looks like there for Bill. I'm so grateful that the school liaison does not have to work alone. Thank you all. Thank you all. Appreciate that. I'm surrounded by amazing leaders, both on the installation and off the installation. And working with one of our installation leaders has helped me understand what the Air Force Corps values really mean. Sorry, getting emotional. Integrity first. He showed me that willingness to do what is right, even when no one is looking. Service before self. Taking the time and making the effort to properly plan and execute actions, regardless of personal cost. And thirdly, excellence in all we do. Performing exceptionally and continually searching for new and innovative ways to accomplish the mission. Thank you, Colonel Charles Hansen, for your wisdom, your patience, and support. I am forever better because of your mentorship and genuine insight into solving the most intricate problems for me and for all of us. I know that the military-connected children, families, schools, and our many partners, thank you. Enjoy your retirement, and best wishes to you and your beautiful family. This is not goodbye, but until we meet again, thank you, sir.
See you in Hawaii.
The only way to follow that is to tell you who the next guy is up.
Okay.
But Chris Dower, if you'll stand up. Chris is out here just visiting. He'll be back. Not only will he have an opportunity to join this team, I hope, but he'll have two children enrolled here in the Wheatland area and continue the tradition of not only being a user of the system, but also a conduit to make sure that we're focused in on doing all we can for this community around here, whether it's the military children, the children that are alongside our military students. So thank you to everything, and looking forward to the partnerships as PSMI comes. Get your checkbook ready, please. Start thinking, how can California pay their 20%? Because the federal government 80% will hit hard, and it's such a great investment in a wonderful program and faculty and staff that are up there at the Hill. But welcome in, Hellboy.
Hey,
thank y'all. It's been a fast 2 years. Thank you.
Any other comments from the public on items not on the agenda? We'll move on to the consent agenda. Are there any questions, comments, concerns about the consent agenda?
Just one clarification. I put in front of you the staff update. The last two teachers that are sharing a contract, they were 50-50, and now they're going to 55-45, and that was a mistake on the one that you got online. So it shows one of them's doing 91, or moving from 91.5 to 101, and the other one is moving to 82.
If there's no questions, can I have a motion to accept, please?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so the agenda passes.
So this is, we brought you this last meeting, the UFLI conference in North Carolina for Johnny Thompson, and it was brought up that are there any others that would like to go? So Sherry talked to her staff, and Amanda Pitts from Wheatland Elementary is interested in going, and they will room together, and so the cost is less than the original, just one. So I'm bringing to you to approve Amanda Pitts to go to the UFLI conference.
Any questions? Can I have a motion to accept, please?
So moved.
And second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Congratulations, Amanda. You get to go to North Carolina.
Thank you, guys.
implementation of the program self-evaluation for the preschool.
Okay, this is an information item, and you do not need to vote on it later, but every year the program evaluation has to be done, and I can't say that I do much of it. Nicole does 90% of it, if not more, but she doesn't want to present. So. So the program evaluation is detailed analysis summarizing findings from the program instrument across 25 areas. And it's basically we go out to parents and we look at other things to see how we're doing in the program. Our preschools consistently meet or exceed the requirements of the state. I'm not going to go through all the bullet points because I know you can read. But our community is very happy with our program. Our preschool program has always been instrumental to the start of students in kindergarten. Now that we have TK, our preschool program has shrunk. We used to have 6 full classes, now we have 4 semi-full classes. But at least we're still giving the younger ones a step up to when they get into TK. It used to be only some 4-year-olds, but mostly 5-year-olds that were in the program, and now we're down to 2.5-year-olds. It makes it a lot more difficult for our staff because some of them have bonding issues, and some of them it's the first time they've been away from mom and dad, and so it's definitely a different environment there. But they take it, they do well with our kids, and again, education itself, I mean, you can tell when they get into the TK classes. So here's some pictures that we include. We have, you know, the bearer kids working with the preschool children. In fact, there's a plant behind you for each of you, and that is brought on from Mrs. Garcia's kindergarten class and Bear River. It's a little different, but a lot of the kids in Mrs. Garcia's class were in preschool last year. Some more pictures. Nothing better than pictures of kids, right? You don't need to write. Child development. So the DRDP is a big part of preschool. It's the desired results development profile. This is an individualized assessment of students. And so they are looking at the lesson planning, academic growth, and then they look at students at the beginning of the year and the end of the year. It's almost like having kind of an individualized IEP for students, but it's in regular preschool. So it's quite a program. It takes a long time for each of the staff to do a DRDP on each of the students. And then here's some very small, but it shows you the percentages of, you should have this in your packet anyways, but it shows you the percentages of where we meet across all of the groups. Getting ready for kindergarten entry. And then this is a typical lesson plan that is turned in. Some of the artwork that the students are doing, which, you know, for 2.5 to 4-year-olds, it's pretty darn good. I mean, obviously, I cut out obviously, they're just gluing it together and whatnot and decorating it. But, you know, it's a great program. If our district ever loses the preschool program, it would be a sad day because it really gets our students prepared. Then there's the parent survey. And again, I'm not going to read through all of this, but they look at teacher quality and care, social and emotional development, academic readiness and learning, program environment and activities, and safety and support. And then they are asked, what was one thing you would like to see improved in the program? And through all those areas, program length, hours, that's typically, we get that every year, can you keep the kids longer? We don't want they want the preschool to last longer. Half day is just not enough. We used to run a full day program, but unfortunately, funding wise, it couldn't sustain itself. Our goal is to provide stability, education, and fun in a safe and developmentally appropriate environment for each child. And again, a lot of it is learning through play. And some of us have our differences on whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but they do just enough academics and just enough room to play to really satisfy the goals of our preschool. And that is it. Any questions?
What is
Never
it?
Been to one of our preschools? Go. It's really fun.
Yeah.
In fact, one day I went to the preschool out at Lone Tree, and I came back, and all the ladies in here are like, why are you in such a good mood? And I'm like, because I was at preschool. And it really was. It really changed my day.
Did you have a question?
Can you explain the differences in what the kids would be learning in the early TK years as compared to the preschool? What's the differences?
Well, because of their age, preschool has kind of had to pare down some of the academic pieces because the students aren't ready for that. So there's more of the play learning, where in TK, now they're like 5-year-olds that used to be in preschool, and they're trying to get them to the point where they're ready for kindergarten, but some of them exceed the readiness for kindergarten because there's not really a state-adopted curriculum for TK, so a lot of the teachers are making up as they go, and a lot of them were kindergarten teachers before. So we have full-day TK. A lot of districts only do a half-day TK, but there's a lot of academics, but there's also time for the students to unwind and have some fun. Okay? So, while I know why you're all here, it's for the audit. We did finally get the audit from our outside auditor. We did get clearance from the state throughout the process to do it late because of issues that came up partly from the state. So we got it on the 29th of April, and I'm here to present it to you tonight. Probably stepped on as you
That's
promised.
Fine.
All right, so district snapshot. This district was established in 1871 in Ewing County. It serves grades TK through 8. We operate 2 elementary schools, TK through 3 and TK through 5, and 1 middle school, which is 4 through 8, and the Wheatland Charter Academy. We also have 2 preschools, 3 after-school programs, and 1 summer camp, and we're governed by a 5-member board of trustees. Our enrollment at this time, so this is the audit for last year. Right? It's not for this year, it's for last year. So we had an ADA of 1,204 students and 85 students in the charter. Our ADA increased by 24 students over 2 years, and our projected ADA for this year is 5 students less than we had before. We always project it less because it's easier when you have more than it is to cut money if you don't have enough. Audit overview, it was an independent audit completed on April 29, 2026 by an outside audit agency. We have a qualified opinion issued, and the only reason we have the qualified opinion is because we still have that issue with the county cash not matching our cash, which is going to be a priority, again, to get that completed, but it is not as easy as you think. Financial statements otherwise are fairly presented under GAAP, so the general accounting principles, and the district complied with all government and auditing standard procedures. Our net position, total assets about $39.4 million, deferred outflows $8.6 million, total liabilities $26.7 million, and our ending net position is 20.5. The revenue highlights, we have total government revenues of 30 million, LCFF 16.2, Federal Reserves 3.8, which I expect that number to go down to next year. State revenues 5.9 and local revenues 4.1. Expenses. Total government expenditures, governmental expenditures, $31.7 million. Instructional costs, $16.5 million. People services, $4.9 million. Plant services, which is not plants, it's facilities, $2.7 million. Food services remain self-supporting. In fact, we often find ourselves at this time of year trying to figure out how to spend some of the money on food services. Preschool remains self-supporting as well. And after school remains self-supporting. supposed to go out next year, assuming the legislation approves it, so that will be helpful. Transportation has not gone up since 2012. And as we all know, the cost of diesel right now is, we could have never planned for that kind of expense. General fund performance, we had revenues of $24.1 million. We had expenditures of $27 million, operating deficit of 3.6. And ending general fund balance, we have $11 million in the ending fund balance, which means that we have a 19% reserve, or equal to 19% of expenditures. So we're still good in the revenues, but as you've looked at the things that Anna's presented, that can go away fairly quickly. And it's not something that builds back up easily. You have to start spending less than you're bringing in to build that up. Capital assets total about $19.4 million. Depreciation, buildings, and improvements. So our buildings are estimated to be about worth $37.6 million. Annual depreciation is $1.26 million. And any construction that we have in progress for 2024-25 was completed during that fiscal year. Pensions, so our net pension liability is $22.3 million. That's STIRS and PERS. The district OPED liability is $1.76 million. CalSTIRS OPED liability is $60,000. Employer contribution rates continue to increase due to state increases. So, for example, as PERS goes up, our spend goes up. As STIRS goes up, our spend goes up. OPEB is referring to the benefits that employers promise to provide to employees after they retire, excluding things like STIRS and PERS. So if we have employees that retire and get 5 years of benefits, that's included in that number. If they get something different, it's included in that number. So whatever the district provides beyond STIRS and PERS. Federal program expenditures, $3.8 million. Our largest program is the Federal Impact Aid, tied to the Field Air Force Base. Special education funding, federal funding exceeded $292,000. So this is the interesting part is we received $292,000. We probably spent $2 million on special ed. So that all comes out of the general fund. And then the child nutrition funding exceeded $515,000. Key risks. Recommendations. Cash reconciliation procedures must improve. This improvement is for the district and the county treasury, because part of the issue is our difference of opinion on the county treasury, and they are very slow at getting us our information. And oftentimes when they send us our information, we have no idea where that money came from. We have to go and search for where the money came from. It should say on there, but it doesn't. The district has incurred two deficits in the two of the last 3 years. So again, we've talked about this before. We have to look at our spending and have to look at some of the, right now, we have children that don't go without. If they need it, the principals buy it. You're probably gonna have to look at that first. We don't have a lot of staff to lay off. Certainly not the teacher don't. So it would be very difficult for us to do anything in that area. So it's really about spending on the other areas. Long-term obligations increased to $24.5 million, and we need to maintain reserve levels and monitor future deficit spending. Conclusion, the district remains fiscally or financially stable with healthy reserves. Enrollment trends remain relatively stable. Audit identified important accounting processes for improvements. Continued monitoring of expenditures and liabilities recommended. Financial outlook requires careful long-term planning. And just so you all know, I didn't write these things. This is all coming from the auditor. Okay. Continued strategic planning position the district for long-term sustainability. District remains committed to supporting students, staff, and facilities. Financial indicators. The district maintaining reserve levels significantly above the state minimum recommendation. Restricted and assigned fund balances exceeded $11.6 million district-wide. Average daily attendance increased over the past two fiscal years. And what that is not the number of students, but it's the number of students actually coming to school. So as I've told you many times, since COVID, we used to have like 97% attendance rate prior to COVID, and it dropped down to almost 82 after COVID. But it's slowly ratcheting itself back up, and a lot of that is because of what they're doing at the school sites to make sure kids come. Our instructional minute requirements were fully met across all grade levels. Food service program operated at a positive net position. Federal impact aid and military connected student funding remained strong. The feds do try to cut that every year, but it's very difficult for them to do that. So we go through it every year, but they're going to cut and they end up not cutting. District continues to invest in facilities and capital improvements. No audit findings reported for federal or state award compliance programs. And that's it. We do have two audit findings. One is the cash that we talked about, and the other one is our ELOC, because we don't provide 6 weeks of summer program. So it makes us have to pay back about $80,000 to the government for the lack of the other 3 weeks of after or summer program. But it would cost us more than that, staffing-wise, and we've tried it, and we don't get the students. They're just, you know, they want to be off for part of the summer, too, so it's just really difficult. We've tried to do it, doing it during Christmas time and other breaks, and it's not well attended, and so we've just kind of abandoned the idea. And we're not the only ones. Almost all the school districts are meeting the ELOC expectations. So, any questions?
How much cash? The reconciliation between the discrepancy, how much cash are we talking about?
Well, at one point it was a little over $1 million, and it was the county said we have $1 million more than we thought we had. Is it like 400,000 now, Mom? Yeah, about 400,000. So they've done a good job of trying to reconcile the $1 million, but the last 400,000 is difficult because you get these random checks, and if you don't balance it correctly, could end up giving money to a grant instead of it should have gone to the general fund or vice versa. So still working on that. Any other questions that Lonnie can answer?
No, thank
right.
you.
So we'll need approval to take the
offer. There's no more questions. Can we get a motion to accept the 2024-25 audit?
So moved.
And a second?
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Okay, we didn't do our cookies earlier.
I figured we'd do it now.
So the board is going to go to, you're going to adjourn to a closed session while you all enjoy a little refreshment and talk amongst yourselves, and we'll be back in